More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, Stray Sheep. Have your kids or other loved ones left the faith? We'll help you bring them back. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, Stray Sheep. Have your kids or other loved ones left the faith? We want to help you bring them back step by step. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825.
You know, there's no doubt about it. It is so painful when our teens or our adult children stop practicing the faith or reject our values. And it can be just as painful when anyone we love either falls away or is hostile to our faith. Are you wondering how to respond to your teen or adult kid's objections to something that the church teaches? Are you sure, you know, are you really not sure how to open up to conversations about helping your adult kids or other loved ones return to the church? Is someone you care about hostile to your attempts to practice your faith? Let us help you find ways to heal the rift when faith divides.
Again, that number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. If you're listening later on to the More to Life podcast, you can still get your questions to us via email. That address is questions@moretoliferadio.com. That's with the number two, questions@moretoliferadio.com. But if you're listening live, we'd love to hear your voice and take your questions live. 877-573-7825.
You know, I don't think there's a harder situation emotionally and in our souls as when someone we love, especially a family member, but somebody that we love is hostile to our faith, is rejecting the faith, is arguing with us about the faith, is living contrary to everything that we've taught them or that we believe in. It is so hard, and I know that personally. I was the only active Catholic in my family of origin. And sometimes it went well, sometimes it went decidedly not well. And it can really just break our hearts. It can make us feel guilty because we feel like we should be able to reach them because we want to make God happy. We want them to live with God for eternity in heaven. We want to get along with them. We want to share our joy in our faith. We want to help them live a life that is healthy and happy and holy and connected to us and connected to God. And when they're in that place, oh my goodness, it makes it so difficult. And our hearts break and we get frustrated and we get angry and we don't know what to do. And of course we pray for them, but what is God asking us to do, if anything, to cooperate with the grace he gives us through our prayers? That's what we need to figure out, to see if there's something he's asking us in the midst of this terrible, difficult trial.
877-573-7825. The show today is titled Stray Sheep. As we talk about those teens and adult kids or others, other loved ones who have left the faith, we want to help you bring them back. Let's talk about what it's going to take. 877-573-7825. You know, in the face of people we care about falling away from the church or being hostile to our faith, we have a tendency to either just sort of double down and keep doing the same things in the hopes that we'll get a different result? Or we throw up our hands in frustration and just kind of walk away, you know, saying, well, I guess there's just nothing we can do. The good news is there's always something that we can do through God's grace. We want to explore that with you today. 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're not sure what that is, when St. John Paul was Pope, he gave a series of reflections over the course of about 5 years that looked at how we could discover God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships by prayerfully reflecting on God's design of creation and specifically of our bodies.
The theology of the body reminds us that we were created to live in intimate communion with God and others, and that faith is meant to be an integrating force that facilitates those relationships. So what do we do when our faith becomes a wedge in our relationship with our spouse, our kids, our extended families, even our friends? We need to avoid the twin dangers of either becoming too passive or too aggressive in our attempts to respond to family members' ambivalence or outright rejection of our faith. Instead, the theology of the body points back to the need to be loving and responsible at all times.
So let's unpack what those two words mean, especially in terms of our ability to engage effectively with loved ones, especially adult kids, who have fallen away from the faith. First of all, to be loving in the face of faith conflicts means to be constantly doing our best to work for the good of the people in our lives in whatever way they've left open to us. You know, a person might not be open to hearing about our faith, but they may very well be open to all the ways we could be sharing the love of Christ with them, through our relationships, through the support we can legitimately offer. And to be responsible, the other virtue that's necessary, means cultivating the ability to choose to respond in loving ways, rather than reacting in either overly aggressive or just passive ways in the face of faith conflicts. So instead of allowing the other person's faith struggles to put us off or put us out, we've got to prayerfully reflect on how we could respond to them in a way that might open their hearts even a little bit more. First to us, and then to God. By taking this loving, responsible approach to faith conflict, the Holy Spirit can use our relationships with others to soften their hearts of stone. Well, it sounds good in theory, and it is, but when it comes to practice, that's a whole other thing. So if you are struggling to reach out to an adult child who has fallen away or has rejected your faith or values or is hostile to your practice of faith or values, or another loved one who is in the same situation, let us help. The call, the number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. You can, as I said, if you're listening later on to the More to Life podcast, you can also shoot us your questions via email. That address is questions@moretoliferadio.com. But if you're listening live, we'd love to hear your voice. So give us a call at 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring to you all those loved ones, especially our adult children, who have fallen away from the faith. We ask you to give us the wisdom to be loving and responsible in the ways that we engage them. Help us to always work for their good and to find ways to respond rather than react to the frustration that we feel in the face of that rejection of the faith and the values that they were raised in. We ask you, Lord, to help us to know how to use our relationship as an instrument of grace and how to work on that relationship so that even when people are not open to you, they can be open to the love that you want to share with them through us. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Stray Sheep, as we talk about kids, adult kids especially, or other loved ones who have left the faith, or reject the faith, or are hostile to our attempts to live our faith. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Lisa, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Toronto, Canada, on the Ave Maria Radio app.
Hi, Lisa. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi, good morning. Thank you. I'm calling about my relationship with my son. My husband and I have fallen away from the faith, had fallen away for 20-something years. We're both cradle Catholics. We came back into the faith in about 8 months ago.
It was an
answer to prayer. Our son is very much on the other end of that spectrum. He has no belief. He's atheist. He's
how old is he, Lisa?
He's 30.
He's 30. Okay.
He's part of the LGBTQ community. He identifies as bisexual. He likes to, sometimes dress in like more feminine present, but he identifies as male. Thanks be to God for that. And he's in a polyamorous relationship where his girlfriend is married to actually one of his good friends, and they call this ethical non-monogamy because everybody's aware and okay with this open relationship. So my question is, since my husband and I have reverted back into the faith and really now have become immersed, not just Catholic in name only, but really practicing our faith and growing in that, he's kind of taken a step back. He doesn't agree with it. He thinks it's a regression, but now he's wanting to, he's looking for ways to introduce his partner into his girlfriend, who's married to his friend, who I know all of.
Right.
I've known them since high school, so I know all of them from for many years now, but introducing her into our family as like his girlfriend. But and I'm afraid. We had a recent rupture because I said, he put on transgender person on TV, and I was like, that's not she, that's a man. And I was saying how I don't agree with, men and female spaces and all of that. And he didn't speak to me for weeks. He was so offended that I would say, I'm not okay with this. I cannot, accept this. And it caused an enormous rupture. So now I'm walking on. He's come back in and we're loving towards.
There's a lot to unpack. So you're just kind of basically asking, how do you have a relationship with him at this point? How do you navigate some of these things? Is that fair to say
and,
in general?
And maintain like a level of morality and decency in my home.
When you say in your home, do you have other smaller children at home? Do you have other smaller children at home?
He has his own home. He does not live with
us. No, but you said that you want to maintain a sense of morality and decency in your own home. So I wanted to make sure. Are there smaller children involved in this as well in some way?
No. No. Okay. Well, our daughter has two little children, and that's an issue.
Okay, but that's not in your home. So I wanted to just get a sense of the basic dynamics here. And I apologize for having to stop you, Jared. We just need to give you time, give you the time that you deserve. All right, so there's a lot here, and it's going to be a long-term journey, right? There are two things that I want you to focus on, okay? The first thing is that I want you to talk with your son about what respect means, okay? He wants you to respect him, but he struggles to respect you. And actually, you know, so what is it respect? What does respect mean? Respect means that I am willing to try to find the truth and the goodness and the beauty and the things you find true and good and beautiful. Doesn't mean I agree with you. Doesn't mean that I agree with the way you pursue those things. But it means that on a basic, fundamental level, I appreciate that you're trying to do something good by whatever it is that you're doing. And I want to understand what that is. And I'd like you to explain to your son, it's like, look, this is a two-way street. You want us to respect you and the choices that you're making. You want us to try to find what's good and what's beautiful and what's true about what you're pursuing in your life. That's difficult, obviously, but we love you and we want to do that. However, we need you to do that for us, too. You know, we have to both be allowed to be ourselves if we're going to be in relationship with each other. And so just as much as you don't want us reacting to everything you do and say, and then we need you to work hard on not reacting to us. And do your best to try to respect and find what's good in where we're at. That's the only way we're going to be able to move forward. And I hope that just as you want us to love you more than we love an ideology, we want you to love us more than you love your particular ideologies. Now, see where I'm going with this next. There's this, because the next point kind of clarifies this further. The second thing, and like you said, you know, you were, you know, out of the faith for many, 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 many years. And you've recently come back to it, and welcome home. We're really glad that you're here, and you've gotten a lot of clarity because of your return to the faith. The problem is, you know, all of us have love in our hearts, right? All of us, every single person wants to love and be loved. But none of us, absolutely none of us, whether we have a faith or not, know how to be loving in ways that are actually loving, and we certainly don't know how to love the way God wants us to. And so, ultimately, the faith... We follow Christ because he came to teach us how to love, right? What's the great commandment we heard on Holy Thursday? I love one another as I have loved you. It's not like people before Jesus never thought that they should love each other if they didn't know how. And Jesus came to show us what it really means to love each other the way God wants us to. Your son wasn't raised with that. So he doesn't know. He's lost. He's seeking that love. He's seeking that connection. He doesn't know how to make it. So you want to keep that in mind. When it comes to respecting where he's at, it's not respecting the choices he's making. It's not respecting what he's doing. Not approving, let's put it that way. It's not approving of what he's doing. It's not approving of the choices he's making. It's not approving of the ways he's thinking. It's about trying to see that he wants to love and be loved, but doesn't know how to do it in a way that will actually be fulfilling. Third point, when you have conversations about the differences that you have about what it means to love, what you want to say is, I appreciate that you want to know, you want to give and receive love fully. Coming from my perspective, I want more for you than you seem to be willing to accept for yourself, and that breaks my heart. You may disagree, I understand that, but I love you so much, and I want more for you, and I feel like you're settling. I want you to be able to have a love from somebody who is dedicated 100% to you and you are dedicated 100% to them, not to have to share that very intimate love with another person or anybody else. This is something that you deserve to have, that one person who loves you and you love.
Forever.
I want that for you.
Yeah.
And it breaks my heart because it feels to me like you are settling. Again, you may disagree. I respect your desire to pursue love, because that's what we are all called to do, right? But I believe that you're worth more and you deserve more than you're settling for. And as your mom, I'm always going to feel that way. You can accept that, you could reject that, but I need you to know where it's coming from. So it's not a matter of you're living wrongly, you're violating the commandments, you're breaking the church's rules, which he doesn't care about nor wasn't raised to respect anyway. It's, I love you, I respect the fact that you are trying to pursue love in the best way you know how. I happen to want more for you than I think you want for yourself. And I want to stand here and remind you that you deserve a full and total and free and faithful love. And I think you're all settling for less. And that's where I'm at. And that's, I mean, you know, and I'm here to remind you of that. And you can like it or not. And I hope that we can respect each other enough to see where we're both trying to come from and love each other in spite of it. Right, and that's the approach you want to take. And since you've known these other two people he's in this polyamorous relationship with since high school, you can adopt the same approach to them. Look, I love all you guys. I love all of you guys. I think that you deserve more than you're settling for. and I'm never going to believe anything different. And I hope that you can respect where I'm coming from. It's not a place of condemnation. It's a place of invitation to a love that I think that you guys don't know and are settling for less. Lisa, we talk more about all of this in our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. I'd really encourage you to check it out because I think it's going to help flesh out the points that we're making here on the show and give you a way to have these ongoing conversations that you need. I'd also encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com because one of the other things you're going to need to do, you know, coming into the faith isn't just about coming into the faith. It's ultimately about letting that grace heal us. So whatever healing needs to be done in you and your husband and your relationship so that you can be a strong, credible witness of love to your kids, I think that that would be an important step in your ongoing conversion journey. So if we can support you in that, please don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We have to go to break with that. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about when adult kids and others fall away. How do we get them back? How do we minister to them in the meantime? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Back in a minute.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
You remember the time I said on the air, go to confession. And when you're done, go out and have a big ice cream soda. Celebrate. And a man wrote to me, he says, you know, I hadn't gone to confession in 30 years. Do you mind if I went and had a pizza? I said, oh, have 20 pizzas.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Garendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling. 40 years of experience. 17,000 current students. Pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plan, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Pretty much everything. My wife and I use Seton. Some of our children. Tell you this. Two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. Over 30% higher on English and reading on the ACT. It's a rigorous program. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. That is SetonHome.org.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you have an insurance plan that pays for everything, even things you don't believe in? There are options. You can join Solidarity HealthShare, a faith-based health-sharing community. Plus, Solidarity HealthShare can save you money with prices starting as low as $384 a month for families.
Call to see how much you can save. 844-398-9399. That's 844-398-9399.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Stray Sheep, as we talk about dealing with either teens or adult kids who have fallen away from the faith or other loved ones who are not practicing or hostile to our faith. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Jacob Flores Popchak. He is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. He's an expert on the practical applications of the theology of the body and a published author and illustrator. Jacob, welcome to More to Life.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, you know, as a pastoral counselor, you know, you run into this situation a lot with parents of adult children who are just heartbroken over their children's loss of faith. And, you know, you were sharing with us over the break that often parents will say, well, you know, if we could just work out these faith differences, everything else would fall into place. But you're saying it's a little deeper than that.
Yeah, unfortunately. And I want to invite anyone listening to this right now to sort of take a deep breath and invite the Holy Spirit in, because I know from experience that when I say what I'm about to say, it might bring up some emotional acid reflux a little bit. But in therapy, there's this idea that we have across the board, all therapists kind of practice this idea of content versus process. And what that phrase refers to is content is what we're talking about, ostensibly, right? What we think we're talking about. Process is the deeper meaning behind what we're talking about, the why we're talking about it, if you will. And a lot of the time, I would go as far as to say probably 90 to 95% of the time, faith conversations with loved ones who've fallen away, like you're talking about, religious themes and the spiritual stuff we're talking about is just content. And the deeper thing is the emotional baggage, the feelings of being rejected, the feelings of you never listened to me, mom or dad, the feelings of we don't actually care about the things that the other person cares about, I feel judged, all of those kind of emotional deeper things. And I find so often that both parties are often really, really guilty of fixating on religion almost as an idol, that if we could just get rid of it, it'll be fine, right? Like the adult kid who's maybe fallen away is just as guilty of this as the parent. If mom would just stop being so religious, we'd be great friends, you know? And mom or dad will say the same thing. If my kid would just get their religious ducks in a row, everything would be fine. And actually, probably not. If lightning struck and they converted tomorrow, they would still probably feel just as misunderstood by you, just as judged by you. You would feel all the same emotional baggage that you still have. And we want to kind of scapegoat or Trojan horse religion as the thing that's going to fix that problem, but we end up putting more weight on the support beams of our faith than it can possibly handle when we do that. And Christ gives us a really good witness here. He says, if you have a problem with your brother, leave the altar. Don't come to religion. Leave the altar. Go fix it with them. And then come back to the altar lest you be surrendered to the judge, right? And I think that's a great witness to these kinds of things. Focus on what would need to happen for both of you to feel respected, for both of you to feel heard.
I got to jump in with that. Thank you, Jacob. And it's right. You're absolutely right. Religion is rooted in relationship. Heal the relationship and the grace will flow. 877-573-7825. Back with your questions in a minute.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
Now, we don't worship Mary. She is the Queen of All Saints. She is the Mother of God, the Theotokos, the God-bearer. But she does have a direct connection with Jesus. She's always pointing us to Jesus. She works together with the Lord in terms of turning people over to him and directing. Like you have a problem, you go to your mom. Your mom's going to give you advice. What does our Mother Mary tell us? Go to Jesus, pray the rosary, go to Mass, receive the sacraments, go to confession. Go to my son, go to my son, go to my son. She's not talking all about her. She's talking about her son. And this is in all the approved apparitions. On the cross, Jesus gave Mary to St. John, son, behold your mother, mother, behold your son. Now, aren't we supposed to emulate Christ and follow in the footsteps of his great apostles, such as the great St. John? And if John took Mary into his home and took care of her, then what are we supposed to do?
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
What sins should Catholics mention in confession? According to the Catechism, we are obliged to confess serious sin at least once a year. A mortal sin must be confessed and sacramental absolution received before taking communion, unless there is a very grave reason for receiving communion and there is no possibility of going to confession. Confessing all the sins a penitent can remember undoubtedly places him or her before the divine mercy for pardon. If, however, a penitent knowingly withholds sins, he places nothing before the divine goodness for remission through the priest. Confessing venial sins is not strictly necessary, but is strongly urged by the Church in order to fight evil tendencies, to strengthen our conscience, and let ourselves be healed by Christ. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Did you know that research shows that married couples who find time to connect in meaningful ways tend to be happier and more resilient? It's not just about going out for a date now and then. It's about connecting in simple, ordinary ways on a daily and weekly basis. It's about finding ways to work, play, talk, and pray together instead of individually. For example, when couples choose to make a meal or clean up the kitchen together, that experience can nurture a sense of teamwork and collaboration that spills over into other areas of their relationship. couples can connect by regularly doing something fun together, too. It doesn't need to be big. It might be as simple as reading a book together or taking an interest in one another's hobbies. As small as these rituals of connection might seem, over time, they create a deep, solid foundation for any marriage. They create the time couples need to share experiences, relate on a deeper level, and build a shared life together. Get more tips for building a strong marriage in the book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. And if you would like to find faithful help with your relationship, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today's show is titled Stray Sheep. As we talk about our teens or adult kids who have either fallen away from the faith or are struggling with the faith, have rejected the faith, or are hostile to our expression of the faith in our own lives, or other loved ones as well who we really care about but who either struggle in their faith or that push back against us in the way that we live or when we try to share our faith. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Laura, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan on Ave Maria Radio.
Hi, Laura. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi. First, thanks for taking my call. Okay. I have a niece. I am her godmother. I am also her confirmation sponsor.
Okay.
She has a lot of background issues that, of course, I won't go into. She has two children by her.
You know what? Before you move on from that, I don't want you to give me the full story here, but just in short, when you say background issues, do we talk about addiction? Are we talking about, you know, mental health issues, personal problems? Like, you know, I'm guessing that it caused her to leave the church for a while or not be practicing a faith anymore, right?
She was adopted at birth. Her adopted father died while she was a very young girl. Mm-hmm. Abandonment issues.
There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of pain there. That's what I wanted to get understand. Okay, go on. You can go on from there.
I get that. Okay. Anyway, she has two children by her fiancé. They are planning to get married at some nebulous point in the future. When right before COVID, she was planning to get married in a local park, and that was COVID put the kibosh on that, and they're just delaying for unknown reasons. When I thought the wedding was actually going to go on, I sent her a letter worded as lovingly as I possibly could to explain on my pastor's advice to say why I could not attend such a wedding as her godmother, as her confirmation sponsor. Now, well, I was as loving as I possibly could be, but firm. Well, I have not heard from her. She has cut me off. All I know is that she told her mother, who is my sister, that, yes, I condemned her to hell, which, of course, was not my intent. Do I need to reach out to her to apologize that she took my words that way?
Okay, thanks for the question. And you know what? I want to just acknowledge you have a beautiful heart. You know, your intentions are very, very good. And frankly, you know, as far as your larger objective for her, you're right on. Okay. And you everything you did, you did out of love, and you did for genuine desire to work for her good. The reason I asked the question about her background, and you said like you could write a book. When we take that firmer line with someone, and sometimes it's appropriate to do that, right? Taking that firmer line with somebody, we have to take into account two things. First of all, are they actually faithful Catholics? Do they actually care? We have a tendency to think that because people went to church as kids and did churchy things as kids,
received those sacraments of initiation, then they've rubber-stamped Catholicism on their souls and they should just live with it every single day. And unfortunately, sin doesn't let that happen every time.
Well, and unfortunately, there are a lot of people who are catechized or even sacramentalized, but who have never been evangelized. Okay, and your niece is one of those people.
And when we say that, it's not just they weren't given the right lessons. Often we think of evangelization as somebody came along and said words at us. No, it means they've had a real conversion of heart, so they have a relationship with God.
A love relationship with God, yes. And a love relationship with the church, where they really care what God wants them to, how God wants them to live, and they really care about what the church says. And so let's say somebody who is really a faithful, who loves God and who loves the church and who's going to Mass every Sunday and who's really trying their best to live their life according to the church's teachings, and they come to you and they say, I want to do this thing. I know that it's wrong as far as the church said, but so and so, you know, I love them and I want to, they're kind of pushing me and I don't want to be a bad person, so I'm going to go along and do that thing. At that point, we could say to that person, we can't support that, you know, because you say that you want to be this person and you're not being that person. And I can't support that because I love you.
And you have a relationship with God, but at this point, because you want to make this other person comfortable, you're actually elevating them above God. That's something that can tug on the heart of somebody who has a relationship with God and cares about that relationship with God.
So that's number one. The second thing we need to consider before we adopt that firm line is the strength of our relationship with them. Because if we have the kind of relationship with them where they depend on us, they see us as a support, they see us as a mentor, we see them regularly, there's emotional capital that's invested in the relationship.
Not just depend on us financially or for what they need temporally, but they depend on us for guidance. They know that they can turn to us when they have a question or a problem.
So if we have that kind of relationship, again, there's some leverage. I don't mean that in a manipulative way. I mean that in a they care what we think, and they're more likely to listen to what we say. If we don't have that kind of relationship with the person, and we take a firm line, they're going to just write us off. And any attempt on our part to set that hard line is going to fail. So you have to have at least one of those two things. The knowledge that they have a strong connection to God and the church and they're just sort of going astray, or our relationship with them is strong enough that they actually would care what we think. If we don't have either of those things, then setting a hard line just pushes that person further away from God despite our intentions. Instead, what we want to do is what St. John Paul talked about. Right. He talked about the law of gradualism, okay? But he also talked about the difference between the law of gradualism and gradualism of the law. All right, so when you're dealing with somebody who isn't faithful or isn't sure of what their faith would be and doesn't necessarily, you know, have that kind of relationship with you that allows you to set a hard line, what you have to do is use that law of gradualism. What that means is that you meet them where they're at and you try to support the good that they are doing, right, to the degree that they're capable of doing it. Now, the law of gradualism is different from gradualism of the law. Gradualism of the law says, oh, you're fine just the way you are. Don't worry about it. It's fine. Don't worry. There's no more. You just do what you want to do, honey. It's fine. Right? It's not fine. Okay. But with the law of gradualism, you say, you know, it isn't fine, but you are taking some good steps. You know, no, you can't run yet. You know, yes, your legs are broken and you're still crawling on the floor, but you know what? You're moving. And that's a good thing. Right. No, you're not running yet, but you're walking. That's a good thing. Right. So in the law of gradualism, we don't pretend that wrong is right, but we acknowledge the positive steps a person is trying to make toward the good, assuming that's all they're capable of. And based on what you're sharing with me, what your niece is doing, you know, she's moving from a state of being unmarried and having children with her boyfriend to wanting more security and more stability and more of that total love in her life. Is she doing it the best way? No. Does God want more for her? Yes. Is this relationship in right order yet? No, absolutely not. And you're right to find little ways to call her on. But in your case, because she's not faithful and because you don't have a strong relationship with her, the best way to call her on is to find ways to support the positive steps that she's taking. Right. So to be able to say moving to marriage, even if it's not a legitimate marriage, a valid marriage, is still a better step toward where God ultimately wants her to be than living in sin. Right. And as you continue to build relationship with her, and you, like we were sharing with our previous call, you can continue to say, you know, and God wants even more for you than this. You know, you've done some really good things. You've taken some really positive steps, and God has even more for you. When you're ready to receive that, I'd love to introduce you to that. I'd love to be able to witness to that for you. You know, and so you build that relationship, you nurture the positive steps she's taking, and you lead her step by step to a healthier, holier life.
Now, Laura, there's one bit of clarity, and I'm sure just trying to get out what you were saying, you may have said this, you know, just trying to get the words out. But what you said is, should I get in contact with her and tell her I'm sorry she took my words that way? I want to just take out this, that she took your words that way. She's going to feel accused by that. I was wonderful. You got angry over nothing. That's how she's going to hear it, no matter how you mean it. That is how she's going to perceive it.
So here's what you want to say. You want to write to her and say, you know, I want to apologize because I see that you want love and you're trying to get that love the way you know best. And I wanted, and I should be able to support that. I believe, as a faithful Catholic, that God wants even more for you than that. I believe that God wants to show you a love that you've never even dreamed of. But I appreciate that that might be hard to understand. And I'm sorry that I didn't acknowledge the good steps you were trying to take that are drawing you a bit closer to that vision. I love you with all of my heart.
And you, I see that you are trying to create a permanent family for yourself, whatever her boyfriend's name is, and your two children, and that is beautiful. And I believe that is an invitation to God for all of you to be able to have a really deep, wonderful, loving family as you find him together.
So however you phrase it, you know, you're acknowledging the good that she's doing, but you're also at the same time saying, and yet there's more.
Yeah, this is an invitation to more.
I hope that someday you'll be able to see that too, but I acknowledge the good steps that you're taking, and I apologize for not communicating that earlier. I was wrong.
But don't tell her she took anything wrong, because that's just going to put her on the defensive and she won't hear one other word you've written.
But the point of this advice is that, you know, you're not throwing morality under the bus. You're not saying that she's doing the right thing. What you're saying is she's taking a step toward the right thing, and you want to support her in that. And you want to continue to pray for her ongoing conversion, and you want to continue to figure out how you could be a more effective witness to her by building your relationship with her and by really making sure that your own life is in order and your own relationship is a sign of what a godly marriage should look like, so that she can look at you and say, you know what, Laura knows what she's talking about. She's a witness to that deeper love in her marriage, and I want that too. All right, Laura, thank you so much for the call. 877-573-7825 is the number. Have your kids or other loved ones left the faith? We want to help you bring them back, or at least identify those next steps toward building that relationship with them and opening their hearts to you and to God. Give us a call. It's 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20.
And Jesus said to them, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Know that I am with you always, to the end of the age."
You know, Jesus is reminding us of the importance of making disciples and doing what we can to raise our children in the faith and witness to them about the unique vision of love that Jesus modeled.
Unfortunately, many of us hear this, go to all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and really teach them this. And we think, oh, that's something for missionaries to do. But it's not. It's for each and every single one of us, especially with our domestic church, our spouses, our children. But it can be so difficult to know how to do that and help your children and your spouse grow in the faith and maintain their faith every day.
So that's what we're helping with today. Give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us, have your teens or adult kids or other loved ones left the faith? Are they pushing back against the faith or even hostile toward your attempts to live the faith? We're here for you. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up right after the break.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking, and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
We're so grateful to be with you today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Stray Sheep, as we talk about our teens and adult kids and other loved ones who have left the faith. We want to help you bring them back, or at least identify those next steps toward that. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Rosanna, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Missouri.
On the Covenant Catholic Radio Network. Hey, Rosanna, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hello, good morning. My name is Rosanna, and I have a strong connection with God. I was married for 20 years, and now I'm divorced. I have three children. And my son is 24, and he's not fine, like, mentally, and he doesn't want to go back to church either.
So, Rosanna, let me make sure I understood you properly. You said that he struggles with mental health issues. Is that what you said?
Yeah, my son is, yes, okay. Like 3 years ago, yes, he tried to hurt himself. Okay. And God pushed me to get up from the seat and go to his room. And that's how I got
so
saved.
You discovered this attempt and were able to intervene. And
praise God. I'm really glad that you were able to follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit then. So what's your question for us now? What's going on now?
Yes. My question is, he's going to move. He has planned to move and finish his career here in Missouri or maybe Chicago. And I'm really worried about him being alone and for far from the house, far from family and me. And I know
sure.
God is going to be with him. that.
Now, Rosanna, let me ask you this as we, you know, help you figure out how to walk through this with him. Since you discovered this attempt and thwarted it, has he been in counseling? Is he getting help on a very constant basis?
Rosanna, are you there?
I'm sorry, say again. We didn't hear you for a moment. Answer me again.
He was in counseling, and okay. He was taking medication for 1 year.
Okay. Have you talked with him about your concerns about him moving away from the supports that he has?
Yes, I did. But, you know, he's an adult, and he wanted to follow his dreams of being an engineer.
Of course. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, and I know that you also mentioned to our screener that he's not going to church, and you told us that in passing as well. Just we have about 4 minutes before they play us out of here, so I want to give you some things to hold on to. All right, in terms of your son's mental health, I mean, of course he wants to be able to stand on his own 2 feet and be a healthy young man, and I can't fault him for that. I know you don't either. What I would say is, you know, honey, I love you, and I support your desire to be strong and stand on your own 2 feet. I'm glad that you feel like you're in a place where you can do that. I know that you've done a lot of work on your mental health, and I'm really proud of how hard you've worked on all that. You know, but it is hard to live on your own and away from all the supports that you've had in your life, and so I'd really want to encourage you to get back into counseling when you get there, you know, to really find somebody who can support you and really be in your corner so that you can keep building on the work that you've done, you know, and keep kind of supporting him in that way so that he can grow in health and keep moving toward becoming a more healthy and integrated person. In terms of the faith, you mentioned to our screener, we didn't have time to get into it in the call, but you mentioned that, you know, that he didn't want to get confirmed and that you actually pushed him to get confirmed. And now at this point in his life, he doesn't want to go to church. And you're wondering how to get him, you know, back into the church. And that it would be good for him to go because, of course, that would be another place to get support and draw that grace that would help him to lead a healthy and holy life. He's not ready for that yet. So, excuse me, what you want to really be focusing on here is witnessing to him about the power of God's grace in your own life to lead a healthy life and to find holy love. You know, you mentioned that you've been married for 30 years, now you're divorced. I'm guessing, you know, I'm not blaming this, but I'm, you know, all the research really shows that adult children are more likely to own their faith as adults when they experience the faith as the source of the warmth in their home growing up. In other words, our homes don't have to be perfect as faithful people, but our kids have to see that our faith is driving whatever warmth we do have. And if we're struggling with problems, then our faith is a source of strength for overcoming those problems. Because if our kids don't experience that personally, then what happens is they don't see the faith as something that has any real relevance to teaching them how to have happy, healthy, holy relationships and overcome the struggles that they face in their life. They just see it as a weird affectation that mom and dad have, a strange habit, and something that they do on Sundays that inconveniences me with a whole bunch of rules. So what I want you to do to be an effective witness is really be looking at your own life and asking yourself, what do I need to do to be a witness of the power of God's grace in my life, to lead a healthy, strong, holy life that my son would admire, and to have healthy, holy love so that when he is looking for someone who can point him to the life he wants to have, he's going to look to me. He's not going to say, you know, oh, mom doesn't get it because of the things that she's struggling with in her own life or her own relationship. He's going to say, I saw the things that mom was struggling with, and I see how her faith has challenged her and encouraged her to face those things head on and make real progress, and I want that. That's your best way to witness to him. Support him in this move, encourage him to seek ongoing help so that he can maintain his mental health. But in terms of witnessing to him, you know, face those things that he looks at to say that your witness isn't credible, get the help that you need to heal those things, and really talk with him about how your faith is empowering you to face that pain and to overcome those hurts and to be that healthy, holy, integrated person that, he wants to look to as a mentor.
And as he moves, continue to talk to him and check in with him several times throughout the week. Let him know you're always there for him, including if he ever wants to come back. And just be that support system that lets him know how much you love him and how much God loves him as he takes these next steps to have a more healed life.
As we wrap up the show, you know, it's easy to tell people to be faithful. It's hard to witness to it by showing them the power of God's grace as an integrating and healing and transforming force in our own lives. But that's the only thing that works, folks. So if you've got an adult kid who's fallen away from the faith, ask yourself, what is it that they see in my life that prevents me from being an effective witness? Then go get the help that you need to heal that. And pray that, God would give you the grace to do that work to heal it. And share with them how God is giving you the grace to heal that so that you can be a witness to the power of God's grace in your life and establish yourself as a credible witness to the power of that grace in their life. That's all the time we've got for today's program. If you'd like more help in healing your relationship with your adult kids, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to transform your marriage, family, or personal life. CatholicCounselors.com. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.